Hola, this is Spartan Theodoro, and you're watching Pure Evil MMA.
Wanting to do for a while now with a couple of fighters, and it clicked tonight. Perfect timing. We got Elias Theodoro calling in right now, and right after we're going to be speaking to his upcoming opponent, Eric Anders. But first, we got the man who's been a vet on Pure Evil MMA, Elias, checking. What's going on, Elias? How are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic, man. Thanks for having me on.
Before we even talk about the fight, I mean, it's been a minute since we spoke. And you've been on Invicta doing the ring boy thing. How's that working out? Do you feel like that's something that's going to stick for a while? Like after you, say for instance, like 5 years from now, there's going to be a couple of ring boys they hire?
I hope so. You know, I'm trying to break some barriers and some hearts along the way. Obviously having a blast doing it. And, you know, the larger cause is for equality in the aspect of, you know, not just have a ring girl, but why not have a ring boy? And I'm really thankful for Invicta for having me on as part of the team. And fun fact, I'll be at Invicta 33, December 15th, you know, in a couple weeks' time.
So listen, man, you got this upcoming fight with Eric Anders. What do you know about him? Like before you were like matched up with him, you actually wanted to fight somebody that he fought before in Lyoto Machida last time that you were on the show. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. So was that kind of like the first time you got introduced to him was when those two fought?
No, actually I was at the fight when he fought Rafael Natal in Long Island.
Was that his debut, I think?
And that was the first time he actually called me out. So, you know, my ears were burning, obviously, then. And, you know, third time's a charm. He's called me out a few times, and now he gets his wish, and I get my opportunity to fight in the hometown in Toronto.
What did you think about the fight that he had with Lyoto in that fight? I mean, Lyoto was coming back. He got the win, and then he disappeared to Bellator. Wasn't that his last fight in the UFC? What did you think about Eric's performance there? Do you see anything in there that you think you can take advantage of?
Oh, definitely. You know, all the power to him for taking that fight and going into the Dragon's hometown, much like he's doing with me. Eric's a tough competitor. He's game. He's looking to knock someone's block off, and whether that's Machida or myself. But obviously there's ways to exploit that in regards to him being still very green. You know, I think he definitely has that fighter mentality, and that, you know, that true, you know, seek and destroy quality. But I think that there's many different ways to kind of take advantage of it, because, like I said, he's still very green and very new. But, you know, he's a tough SOB, and I'm really excited to fight him.
So this is going to be going down for UFC 231. And inside this fight, there's one thing that I can definitely expect from you. Anytime that you step in there, you kind of neutralize the fighters. Like, they can't really get around on you. I think Adam Hunter said it best. It's like, whenever a guy fights you, they can't really get to their best performance. It usually, you know, you usually neutralize them. You feel like you can do that for Anders?
Yeah, it's actually funny. A friend of mine calls me Leech from the X-Men, where I basically nullify. That's my superpower, nullifying people. You know, in many ways, fighting is about, you know, it's an aggressive dance, and whoever can lead will win. And I'm a phenomenal dancer, and kind of to play on the words of Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Everyone's got a plan until they see me dance.
What are you doing to get ready for this fight? Anything different? How are you preparing right now?
You know, born ready. Most people are born in hospitals. The thing I would throw out there is the fact that this is my 10th UFC fight, and this is also my 7th southpaw. So I know exactly what a southpaw is, and I know exactly, in many ways, what Eric Anders is going to come at. He's going to come fast and, I think, hard right off the bat. He feels that being in my hometown, in many ways, he's going to try and, you know, establish, you know, dominance off the bat. But I've been there before, whether it's someone like Sam Alvey, who, you know, has triple the amount of experience in knockouts, and, you know, even longer reach, or it's someone like, you know, Dan Kelly, who pushes forward and in almost like a zombie-like state. I've done this before. Both of those were southpaws, by the way. And, you know, I'm really excited. I think Eric Anders is, like I mentioned, a very hungry athlete who wants to really, you know, stake his claim in the middleweight division, and he's looking to, you know, use me as that stepping stone. I think that's why he obviously called me out, but as I've proved in the past, no easy puzzle to figure out. I would only argue that I've really only lost one person, and that's a mutual opponent in Thiago Santos. And, you know, that fight showed, that fight, Eric Anders showed a lot of heart, a lot of balls for taking that fight on short notice. But it also showed that he made some of the same mistakes that I did 3 years ago. So that just goes back to the aspect of, you know, he's still learning as a mixed martial artist. But I'm expecting him to bring the fight because that's what he always does.
And you bring up a really good point. Like, you've kind of been in there. You've kind of fought some of the higher tier guys. I mean, he's starting to as well. But we even saw it last weekend between JDS and Tai Tuivasa. Like, you know, sometimes people get excited and they can make the smallest mistake, but the vet is so smart. He's been there. He's seen that before. The jitters aren't getting to him. And, you know, I feel like you definitely have the confidence there. But does it honestly add any extra pressure on you that this is going to be your 10th fight, that you are fighting in your hometown? Honestly, does that add any sort of pressure?
No, it actually is a relief. The fact that I had a little less traveling. You know, I got friends and family that are able to make it. And my after party at the Pint is just around the corner. So, it's kind of ingrains every single day that I wake up, even leading into this fight, that I could even see the stadium from my house. So, you know, extra motivation and really looking to put it on for my city.
How do you see this fight going? If you can kind of preview it without giving anything away, how do you see this fight going? Obviously, you're going to stay with your hand raised, but honestly, how do you see this fight going down?
I think in many ways, like you kind of touched on it, I think, and I've touched on it, I think Eric's going to come out swinging in the beginning and try to look to set dominance and look to set a pressure. But I think, as one can look back, I've never been outstruck in the UFC in regards to the volume. Even out of the 10 fights, 8 of those have been double the actual volume of my opponents. And I think I just am able to, set the rhythm. And the longer it goes, the better I'll be able to, impose my will. Obviously, it is a fight and anything can happen, but I'm looking to just push a pace that'll create a great fight. And like you said, get my hand raised.
So obviously, every time I have you come on the show, I always kind of break away from your fight because I always like to catch up with like what you're up to. So first, let me start with, like, did you catch this weekend's fights between Wilder and Fury?
Yeah, it was a great fight. I got kind of the highlights. I didn't see the full fight, but man, was that Undertaker gimmick on full display with Fury.
Yeah. Straight meme status right there. That was literally unbelievable. I love the people who were out there that made that connection there, because that's literally exactly what it was. What did you score that fight as? Did you think it was a draw? And do you think it was a little corrupt? Because there's a lot of people that, you know, have a lot of opinions about this. A lot of people feel like the narrative was changed between the commentating. What was your honest and pure reaction to this battle?
Again, someone that only saw really the highlights, I'm taking the word of those that actually saw the full fight, but I wouldn't put it past boxing because that's something that's been in kind of known and ingrained in the system that is. And unfortunately, when you put it in the hands of the judges, it's up to their discretion.
Well, you know, after 25 years, especially in MMA, we just saw the 25-year anniversary. I had Chad Skelly on. There was a controversial call there, and I was talking with him about, you know, after this amount of time, what do you think needs to be changed inside the MMA scene, whether it be judging, whether it be, you know, refs being qualified at a higher standard, or what would it be for you?
Definitely a mixture of both. I think only people that have competed in some capacity should be an official. I think if, you know, especially when you look at the fact that a lot of the officials originally in mixed martial arts kind of came from boxing background because they kind of used their infrastructure. pressure to build, you know, regulations and to build commissions, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's a little bit of a bias on the boxing side to any kind of grappling or wrestling. So I think in many ways people should have some kind of qualification and some kind of, proof that they know what they're doing.
All right, so before we let you go, last thing I want to talk about, are you going to be on any more book covers? Are you doing any more modeling? What do you got lined up for 2019?
Yeah, no, I think we touched on it in regards to Ringbone. I'm really excited that it's probably up to 10-plus events in some capacity in the Ringbone duties. I'm really excited to that, to, you know, keep on, you know, breaking barriers and breaking hearts. I also own the trademark for Ringbone, so I'm actually going to be creating a calendar. And the plan is to talk to other UFC fighters and get them to be a part of, you know, a part of the calendar. And who wouldn't love to see Derek Lewis for Mr. July? And again, breaking the mold of, all that, big is beautiful in MMA. But I think one of the most important things that I'm kind of working on at the moment would be, you know, not only my fight inside the cage, but my fight out. And that includes fighting against the stigma of medical cannabis. As a medical cannabis patient, I'm in the process of getting a therapeutic use exemption in TUE in cannabis for competition. It's been an uphill battle with USADA in the sense that they have, in many ways, an outdated mind, and it's throughout this process that I've really noticed that they probably don't want to do it in general because of the precedence that it'll make. But, you know, any fight worth doing is going to be difficult, and it's going to take a long time to get it all together, and I'm pushing forward. And one of the interesting things with USADA is they never say no, they just deny you and they ask for more information. And since this 18-month process that I've been in, they're finding less and less opportunity and less things to say no to. So, you know, my next fight may be against Eric Anders, but my biggest fight is not against one man, but against the stigma of medical cannabis.
And, you know, I feel like things are so backwards. I remember back in the day, like, Matthew Riddle, or Riddle, he got kicked out of the UFC. Even Nick Diaz getting in trouble for a couple of years. Just, like, really harsh punishments. Like, we see less punishments for PEDs and stuff like that. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, after fights, people, they go out. Even we saw Conor McGregor drunk at the press conference. That's doing a lot more damage than marijuana, at least in my honest opinion. It's something that definitely needs to change.
Yeah, no, definitely. And even kind of going back to the USADA aspect, it's kind of like a little bit of hypocrisy in the sense that one of the things that they told me is I need to do essentially more prescription drugs because they're first-line medicines, right? So this is also at the time when USADA is having a campaign where they're, you know, trying to fight opioid addiction, but yet they're telling me to do more opioids. So it's a little, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Part of this is the fact that in the U.S., it is still a Schedule I drug, which means it has no medical property. But in Canada, it's fully legalized, and we've actually had medical cannabis for over a decade now, even to the point where I would say that don't just take my word for it, that cannabis should be removed from the prohibited list. There you go. Too much water and cutting weight at this point. My brain's a little bloop.
But no, you nailed it.
It's currently on the prohibited list, which means it's at the same level of steroids and HGH in regards to what you can find. And not saying that he is, but someone like Eric Anders or any opponent for that matter could opt out for something like Vicodin. And if it was in their system, it wouldn't be an issue. But if it was the cannabis is in my system, I'll get suspended for like months, if not years. So it's kind of head-scratching, but, you know, that's part of the stigma, and that's part of the reason why I'm trying to use my platform to break down these barriers.
Anyone out there that knows anything about opiates and what it can do to your body and how addictive it is, that should piss anybody off that is the way things are. So things definitely need to change. I live in Connecticut. We have places around here that sell it medically. And I know in Canada, they just actually, legalized it? Or what did they do up
nationwide.
There? Nationwide, yeah.
It's really legal. But even more so, and this is where it comes into, again, fundamental Canadian rights, it's attached to healthcare, and healthcare is considered a fundamental Canadian right. And USADA, unfortunately, doesn't, again, this is not my work, it's my medical practitioner and my medical practitioner Solos Health Network. And also my actual family physician that has diagnosed me in regards to, you know, using cannabis for pain, pain management, and more specifically my bilateral neuropathic pain. And again, it's one of those things that USADA is kind of fighting me on this because they know that the precedent that they'll make, not just for myself, but all for all Canadian athletes.
Elias, I want to thank you so much. That's what I'm really interested in. I really, really hope that you are one of the leading guys to make a change for that, because it's slowly but surely people are starting to understand the old ways are dying off, and I'm sure it'll be no time before we can make something happen here. So I appreciate you going out there, putting your name on the line in front of it and fighting for this. That means a lot to a lot of people out there.
Thanks, man. And I appreciate your time as always. And talk again soon. Hopefully sooner than rather than later.
Last but not least, if you have any shout outs, anything at all, the floor is now all yours, Elias.
No, obviously, I hope everyone tunes into my fight and also the pay-per-view as well. I'm really excited to put on a show for my hometown and everyone watching.
Elias will be tuning in. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon, bro.
And guys, until next time, wear knuckles to the end. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. Behave yourselves.